This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Eric McLean, normally at this spot, will join us at 8:30 this morning. All right, so he's half an hour away. Wes, on Friday's program, just off the top of my head, I said I'm going to start doing something called Since Dirt, and we start finding crazy stats and things that happen, and we tried to force Mike Tirico. To my knowledge, Tirico did not mention Since Dirt on the NBC telecast. I will only allow you to speak for yourself on the ACC Network broadcast. So I'm sensing that's a shutout this weekend of Since Dirt, but I'm going to bring it up on our show. We're going to now create a new segment, Since Dirt. So there were some things that happened this weekend.
I had to worry.
Go ahead.
In my defense, I had to worry about a cutout that was terribly out of place.
Windblown. But, you know, team effort though, right? Team Looked effort. Like Look, with the cutout.
Can I, you all, Larissa Harris did a great job helping me out, but my cutout looked like I'd had maybe one or two too many blue buckets at He's Not Here on Franklin Street, if you know what I mean.
I'm glad we got that straightened out.
It looked like I've been at He's Not a little long. Ooh, yeah. Didn't really have time for Since Dirt. I was worried about my cutout.
Yeah, that's a good point. There you go. Good point. All right, so we're the boys, they got the infamous cutout shot here. In case you missed this during the North Carolina,
man, I look like
game.
Yeah. Look, I mean, Larissa had to help me here because my cutout looked like I was at He's Not on Friday night till they shut it down. They got me took to the fourth quarter, but we got it straightened up.
I like
Thanks.
It.
Thanks, appreciate
I like
it.
I like it. Yeah. All right. Since all right. Dirt.
Say, continue. Since Dirt.
We're going to give you some things that transpired over the weekend in the ACC that have not happened since Dirt. And we're going to start with the NC State Wolfpack, as Wes loved these unis. NC State taking care of business. They beat Georgia Tech. And what NC State did hasn't happened since Dirt. 7 ACC wins this season. Yeah, I know. Joe Giglio is screaming at his television right now if he's awake. Pack, they played 10. I don't care about they playing 10. They've never won 7. But okay. Well, they have now since Dirt. Big 29 with a big boy touchdown. So congratulations. There's NC State in the red right there, in case you were wondering. That's NC State in the red. Yeah. But since Dirt, the Wolfpack, never, ever, till Saturday, 7 ACC wins. One season.
I really like this story, right? Because of what happened last year and all they went through. And then you win the come from behind game in week one, you lose by 3 scores in week two, and you kind of build your way back through the season. Now, win at Pittsburgh certainly is a turn,
but
you go through so many other things too. You got to come back from losing to Miami to win a game. And I mean, just think about the good stories that come out of there. The Bailey Hockman part two piece as a starting quarterback, the young kids on defense who've grown up in the course of the year, the offensive line shuffling. I mean, just credit to Dave Doran, his staff, and his players for a really, really good year and a nice, nice story.
Totally agree, 100%. And that's why Dave Doran will be in the conversation for ACC Coach of the Year. Changes with his staff, the pandemic, absolutely, coming off a terrible year. I mean, there was a lot of pressure on NC State to deliver this particular year, and they did that with an 8-win season. So congratulations. Brennan Armstrong did something for the first time since Dirt this weekend. He became the first Virginia quarterback to record back-to-back games of at least 400 total yards. I mean, even Thomas
this
Jefferson with the kids tossing
stat.
It with the boys in the backyard. Never back-to-back games. Never since Dirt. How about that? Wahoo wah. Big one this week for Virginia Tech. But man, number 5 returning has changed the entire dynamic of this Virginia football season.
All right. I want to roll through. I'm going to give you 3 quarterback names at the University of Virginia. And that's why this is a surprise. First of all, we're going to start with Sean Moore. Sean Moore never had back-to-back 400-yard games. I mean, as good as those teams were.
Yeah.
Now, I know it was a different style of football with George Welsh. Okay. Bryce Perkins didn't.
Right.
That dude lit it up for 3, right?
Right.
Aaron Brooks didn't?
Nope.
I mean, that's just three guys.
Brennan
that's crazy
Armstrong.
Stat.
Brennan Armstrong.
When I heard that, I was like, wait a second.
Yeah, since dirt. All right, okay. I'm going to keep it in Charlottesville because there was a lot of stuff happening in Charlottesville this weekend on the grounds. Virginia won the game. They beat BC. Why is that important? Because Virginia, since dirt, never beaten Boston College in football. They were 0-for. 0-for dirt until Saturday. A lot of stuff, like I said, you're going to see a couple since dirts from UVA to this broadcast here. But Grossell was out of sight, too, and we're going to get to him momentarily. But good for Virginia, man. Again, they're playing good football, and that's why that Commonwealth Cup will be intense Saturday night in Blacksburg as the Hoos try to go back-to-back against the Hokies. We'll see what happens on that front. All right, we're going to stay in Charlottesville, right? Because there was a lot of dirt happenings. UVA's defense have never, ever given up 520 yards in a game before. Jeez. And again, this is a backup QB. That's right. You heard me. Dracovic didn't even play. Grissel comes in there, goes for 520, ties the Boston College record. So since dirt, Virginia never, ever given up that many passing yards in a game before. Pretty good day. Huh? Pretty good day for BC.
Can I just say, did you watch any of this game, by the way?
A little bit. Can't say I watched all of it. I saw a little bit.
Let me give you this. That ball game looked like the Montreal Argonauts or the Toronto Montreal Alouettes and the Edmonton Eskimos. That was a CFL game. They were flinging that thing everywhere. Quarterback run, single back stuff. It was crazy to watch it. That game, you could have put it in a three down situation, not a four downs. It was just really weird. Opened up. I mean, you can tell. Look at all the numbers it went up. 900 and some yards total. 1,000 yards, I think, of offense.
Good dirt game. We gave you three tidbits since dirt, and just from that game alone. All right, next up is Clemson.
All right.
Back to back to back. To back, to back, to back conference championship game appearances. Since dirt, forget it. Forget it. Tigers have never done that before. Or anybody else in this league. And man, do we have ourselves a showdown on the 19th, right? Clemson, Notre Dame. But six consecutive championship game appearances, and that Clemson defense took over in the second half. I mean, they were really, really dynamic and good. Even though the linebackers got beat up a little bit. We'll talk about that later on. Clemson-Notre Dame, Wes. Going to be a good one.
Boy, we are a long way from Florida State playing Georgia Tech for the championship game a few years ago, aren't we?
And how about all the times we were going to get Florida State and Miami in the championship game, right?
Miami, yeah.
How about that? One to me still is one of the all-timers for ACC fans. When Miami joined the league, man. Miami-Florida State every year in the ACC title game.
Over. Every year. Oh, you bet.
Haven't seen it since dirt.
Ever. Yeah.
Seriously.
Since dirt. That's right. Thank you.
We're going to go John Calipari because it's tied into the ACC. Coach Cal.
Whoa, Josh Pastner, the welder.
That's it. Coach Cal lost to a former assistant coach yesterday. Since dirt. Since dirt. First time in 18 tries. An assistant takes care of business. Josh Pastner, forget Mercer, forget Georgia State. Let's go schedule Kentucky every week. That was a beatdown, too. That wasn't one of those tipping at the buzzer routines. That was a total throttle is what that was. That wasn't even close.
I can sense a long practice in Lexington for the Big Blue Nation today. Whoa.
They'll be real happy with that.
Urgency,
all right, real quick. Let me zip through these real quick. I'm going to stay with hoops.
Okay.
Louisville women. They went for $116. $116.
Jeez.
Against DePaul on Friday. Since dirt. And I mean, I'm talking that brown water dirt. They have never seen $116. Most points ever since dirt for the Louisville women. 116, West Durham. How about that?
Yeah, DePaul's no joke now. Doug Bruno's got a nice team.
Yeah.
That's a good program.
guess what? So does Louisville. So does NC State. So does Syracuse and others. The league's got, I think, three dynamic women's basketball programs this year. And there'll be some that's sticking their nose in. Can we go one more real fast? Go to the Irish.
Sure.
Real quick. Saturday, if you're watching on NBC, the band wasn't there. So you know what Notre Dame did? They pumped in Notre Dame music. Since Notre Dame Stadium and Dirt, they've never done that before. There was no live band. But when you heard da 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 da, so the PA system. Since Dirt, first time ever, Notre Dame. It's a pandemic, boys and girls. There you go. Since Dirt.
That's where we are, kids.
That's where we are. Get that all over you.
All right. Congratulations. Can't wait on the Since Dirt merchandise to hit the stores, as they say.
Just pay attention.
This, too, is a possibility. When we return on the Monday edition of Packer and Durham, we have a fairly strong list of wide receiver U. Fairly strong. I'm not going to tell you it's double caffeinated, but I am going to tell you it's a solid list. You agree with that, Pack?
After last week, nothing could be touched. Last week spoiled us rotten. Last week wasn't – we had enough week to take care of the whole month. But there's some good ones on this week. But last week was the best.
There are. So we'll crank out December. We're starting December's wide receiver U when we come back. Don't forget, women's basketball triple header on Sunday. Sunday. We start with eight. Look at all the conference games. Clemson, Pittsburgh at noon. Number 8 NC State visits Boston College. Elisa Cunane, Taylor Soul in a showdown presented by Food Lion. Then at 4 o'clock, North Carolina, number 5 Louisville. Women's Hoops triple header starts at high noon Sunday right here on ACC Network, streaming live on that ESPN app. All right, wide receiver U when we come back. There are some candidates. Cornell Powell is back on the list. And you know we don't do one of these without a Mecca Amezi, right? So get ready. On the other side, WRU.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham. We go from Since Dirt to a staple, which has been with us since day one of our show. Wide receiver U. Fans out there can make nominations. You're watching the game, send us a text, email, tweet, any other social media outlet, hashtag Packer and Durham, we'll find it. And so it's all about the wide receivers, my man. And sometimes, not necessarily. We've had some defensive backs win the title this year.
Yes, that's right. All right, let's roll the videotape. We're going to start in Blacksburg Saturday night. Last play of the first half. Braxton Burmeister going to sling it to the end zone. Raheem Blackshear caught it and got knocked out of bounds.
Just a little reach, Wes. It could have been a touch here. Right? I mean, just a little bit of a reach.
And a big touch.
You go into halftime tied up on a crazy play. And I'm telling you, he missed out by about, I don't know, a foot, maybe a foot. Crazy.
Darion Kendrick, three words. Knock it down.
Mm-hmm. You think Coach Venables mentioned that during the Sunday briefing a few times?
Sunday.
Yeah, maybe halftime.
How about the locker room at halftime?
Yeah, well, I know this much. That defense responded in the second half and dominated. So they were paying attention.
That's it. All right, Cornell Powell next. How many times has he been on this list, by the way?
Boy, lately
Cornell
he's been
Powell's
great.
Starting to become a regular.
Yeah, lately he's been star-studded right here. And he joined us last week on the show.
Big-time stride into the end zone. By the way, Lawrence threw a dime to him, right?
Yeah, and keep in mind, it was a bit brisk. I mean, the wind's blowing. It's 30 degrees. Nothing's easy throwing the football in that nonsense.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Cornell Powell's on the list. All right. Next, go to the Fabled Horseshoe on the West Campus, Pac.
Outdoor.
I think Mike Harley is open.
And we got Duke guys yelling at each other 15 yards behind the play. Hey, man, that's your guy, isn't it? No, that was your guy. I'll tell you what it is. It's a touch.
Look. Look at, where are we? What are we doing?
Wallace, like, Wade outdoor. Duke, right. Like I said, Duke's giving
Mike
up
Mike Harley up the same for 91.
Yeah,
Duke's, 91.
Duke defensively has just been a train wreck here the last three games, and they get Florida State. We get to see the Noles for the first time in seemingly weeks.
Yeah, welcome back.
Yeah, welcome Florida State back. Florida State Duke this weekend.
All right, next, let's go to Virginia. How many times has Zay Flowers been on the list?
Been good. Bang.
Tell tough me, catch. Look at this catch.
That's a tough catch.
And I mean, somebody was coming for somebody's business in this play.
Yeah, right? He knew he was going to get hit, but he just said, I'm going to tough this one out. Grisels is laying in there perfectly, and bam, Zay gets hit. Every week he makes a play.
Telling you what, folks, making the catch is one thing. Making the catch and knowing you're going to get blasted is another.
Yeah. Zay Flowers is a player.
All right. You know, next year I'm thinking we just start calling this Wide Receiver U presented by Emeka Emezi.
Every week.
Seriously.
Every week.
It's a big time grab, by the way. And it's a good play by Zamari Walton. Look at this catch.
The catch, the throw,
did he get two? Yep. Got one for sure. I think this might be good on Sunday, too. Let me see. No, got one down.
Yeah. All he needs one.
It's a great catch, though.
Yep.
Yeah.
Love it. He's
Indiana.
Wes, he will be one of those guys when we do all ACC. And see, good luck to everybody's got a vote. I mean, really, good luck in this league this year. But Emeka, every week, has given us a catch.
Yeah. Not one. We have two from South Bend, Indiana. Same guy. And this one hit the group text pretty quick after it happened.
Yep.
It's a great catch. Javon McKinley. Friend of the show, I think we can say that. Nice grab. And that's Melifonwu, by the way, who Ifa might be one of the most talented guys in this league. McKinley, just big, man. Ooh. That crowd is big and strong at wide receiver. That's not the only one from Javon McKinley, by the way, Pac. We have another one.
Perfect.
Which one
pass.
You like better?
I like the first one better. But the point is, the dude throwing it at Mr. Ian Book, dude, I mean, that's a perfect pass.
Yeah.
His man's the only one going to catch it, right? I mean, it's a perfect pass. Mm-hmm. Right on the money.
Yep. It's like the ball Lawrence threw to Powell. Perfect, right?
Perfect pass. No question. And both those guys have something in common because they did something over the weekend that put them in elite company, both Ian Book and Trevor Lawrence.
All right. I'm not saying I got a house favorite. House favorite. Here it is. This is it right here. It's the house favorite. Devin Carter. Come on. I know he doesn't score. I understand he doesn't score.
Well, it needs to be
pointed out. That's a snatch out of the air.
It needs to be pointed out that we will not determine the winner. That comes up to the fans. We've said that every week we've been doing this. And it doesn't have to be a touchdown to be nominated. I mean, it could be a 3-yard out. It's all about the catch.
Right.
It's all about the catch.
Yep.
So we'll see what the top four will come out of that group.
Finalists will be available on the ACC Network Twitter. You can also find it on ACC Network on Instagram. The voting occurs exclusively on Twitter. Okay, so the Twitter poll will be up, and we will have the results for you tomorrow. So when we come back, Eric McClain will be ready to go with us. We'll get a half hour with Big Mac, talk about the weekend. We got the Tigers and the Irish now set for Charlotte a week from Saturday on the 19th. Might be a little brisk uptown. We're going to get Mac's accounting, and we'll talk about the weekend, the ACC up next.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Packer and Durham on a Monday. Last time we checked, we are still streaming live on the ESPN app. 844-SAY-ACCN is the number for the program. Eric McClain, right on time today, 8:30 sharp. There he is. Mac, what's up? You doing all right?
Good morning, guys. How are y'all doing?
Good, man. Another day, another dollar.
That's right.
Wes,
so what did we glean, Mac, from the weekend in the ACC? What did we glean?
What was that? I think we found out that we have three really good teams at the very top. And, you know, when you look at Notre Dame, Clemson, and Miami, a great statement game by those guys. And it was interesting enough. We talked on the huddle Saturday morning and just talking about Miami. Are they disrespected? How do they feel? And, you know, I think they came out and made a statement game. We were interested to see coming in, was there going to be some rust? Was this going to be a team that, you know, needed to build in this game and get it going? And that was not the case. These guys came out firing on all cylinders. It did not look like they just came off of a three-week layoff. It certainly looked like they were in mid-season form, end-of-season form, which is where you want to be right now. So was very impressed with what we saw from Miami. And then with NC State, I mean, golly, those guys just find a way to win. It has been so fun to watch that team, a team that, you know, scores 31 points and gives up 31 points. So they easily could be 3-8, but they're 8-3, find a way to win. The team resiliency from the coaching staff all the way down to the players, they have really been a fun team to watch this year.
The storyline of the weekend out of the ACC is Notre Dame. We knew they were going to be in Charlotte. Clemson punched their ticket too. And, you know, you go to Blacksburg, it's freezing cold. You get one of those nights where you kick the thing around. Hey, crazy stuff happens in those games. I thought Virginia Tech did a really nice job in the first half, slowing the game down. They got it within one touchdown possession. Almost had it tied at halftime at the bizarre, you know, Hail Mary. But, man, defensively in the second half, Clemson got after Virginia Tech. That was a really impressive performance.
They played keep away, Pack, in that first half. It was wild to see that. I mean, Virginia Tech basically had the ball for 20 minutes out of 30 minutes in the first half and did a great job sustaining drives. They had a 7-plus minute drive at one point. And just what they were able to do offensively, they executed at a really high level. But as we have found more often than not against that Clemson defense is they wear you down and they get after you and eventually things stop working. Things that did work in the first half just absolutely didn't in the second. Clemson, you know, held them to 100 yards under their rushing average, obviously scored a touchdown as you guys see on the screen right here and caused, you know, three total turnovers. So a great effort by that defense. Interesting enough on the offensive side of the ball was a little bit vanilla and not great execution by guys. I thought it was interesting enough. We only saw that one shot to Cornell Powell, or I guess we had two of them. But just the way that, you know, Virginia Tech was really playing man press hard and wasn't helping over the top, I thought that Clemson would have taken more advantage of that down the field. But again, you look at personnel, you look at who's out there. Cornell Powell, obviously a guy who has been able to take the top off. But other than that, you know, that they're missing their big wide receivers on the outside, three guys that they expected to have. It'll be interesting. You talk about that December 19th game. If any of those three, talking about Ngata, Frank Ladson, and maybe even Justin Ross, guys, if any three of those wide receivers will be back for this December 19th game.
Eric, I want to dive into the Justin Ross thing here in a minute, but let's go back to what you just talked about with a little bit of the tinkering that could have been going on there. Combination of different running backs. Lynn J. Dixon gave him some stuff in the ground game. That was good to see behind Travis Etienne. But defensively, what are you seeing there that gives you some optimism, and what gives you concern about what may happen in a championship game?
Yeah, the biggest thing with this whole team really is the health of James Skowski, and the fact that he played a series, and I'm not sure if he re-aggravated something, if they just, you know, pulled him, if maybe he wasn't feeling comfortable. They said, okay, well, we're going to rest you for 2 more weeks. You know, I'm not sure, but that's going to be the biggest piece that, you know, I'm following the closest or looking forward to the 19th. That'll be the biggest difference maker, in my opinion, for that game. So seeing his health, where he is, obviously he was still on the sidelines. It looked like another little defensive coordinator out there in the second half. How intense he was on the sideline. Y'all see these clips here. I saw him yelling and screaming at somebody at one point. It was really kind of funny to see. So that's something you want to pay attention to. Obviously the health of big Tyler Davis up front. You know, he's looked fantastic against Pitt and now Virginia Tech. He's an absolute difference maker, a guy that can take on double teams, absorb 2 blockers, and still make plays. That's going to be really important. And then just, honestly, the confidence that we've seen from these younger guys who maybe haven't, you know, had the great playing time early, but now because of injury and just where Clemson is in the season, those guys have been able to come in and are feeling better than maybe they were against Notre Dame and you know, kind of forced into more playing time or more meaningful playing time then and now are feeling really good about themselves. So, you know, I think, again, with Clemson, it's just – it's overall health. It's getting really healthy in these next 2 weeks. And, you know, for Notre Dame, it's just continuing to roll. So excited both of these teams essentially have a bye before this game. It's a little bit Super Bowl-ish, as my co-host on the podcast, Kelly Gramlich, said. We've got 2 weeks leading up to this really big game in the ACC. And, guys, I think it's going to be, when it's all said and done, you know, the most anticipated conference championship we've ever had in this conference.
There is no doubt it's going to be the best conference championship game, period, this year. I want to go back, though,
that's right,
to Skowski. You know, everybody says he was just sore, it's cold, they held him out. But, you know, Venables comes in, breaks his arm, he's out. Spector got knocked up. The one thing that really impressed me about Clemson's D in that game was the second wave of linebackers, Eric. Those dudes were flying around the football. And you're like, a couple times you had to rub your eyes and go, was 47 out there with Skowski? No, he's not. Who are these other guys? I mean, that second tier guys, and again, there's a reason there's guys that are starters and there's a reason there's a second team. But my goodness, the second group of those headhunters that Venables has are really impressive. They're going to be good for a long time in the middle.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Second, and even some instances, third string guys, right? You look at a guy like Levante Bentley, who has just been waiting his time, redshirt freshman. Coach Sweeney said at some point this season, he said, if you look up, you know, linebacker in the dictionary, it's going to be a picture of Levante Bentley, a guy that will absolutely knock your socks off. Just a tremendous linebacker. And it's great to see when guys get their opportunity, they come in and do what is expected. They're prepared. They're ready for the moment. So between Bentley and McGuire, I mean, those guys were just flying around the ball pack. You're absolutely right. It was funny how you have expectations of the first string and maybe some drop-off. Those guys came in and made plays and made an instant impact when they got their opportunity. That's what you love to see from anybody. You know, not just Clemson, obviously, in my affiliation, but anytime a young guy, an inexperienced guy, gets their opportunity and thrives and succeeds, it just makes you feel good. Because as a player, I know how much it takes, how hard it is to be a backup when there's expectations for you to play right away, and what it means when you finally get your opportunity. You don't ever want to give it back. So kudos to those guys, Pac. You're right. They're going to be good for quite a long time. And you look at the recruiting pipeline and, you know, it's just another 4 or 5 star coming in. So it's been really impressive to see those guys make the most of their opportunities.
Tigers' opponent will be Notre Dame. EMAC, to be honest with you, they just did what Notre Dame should have done, right? Syracuse got an early mark. It was close. And then Notre Dame just did what Notre Dame should do. Ian Book was fantastic. We showed Javon McKinley's 2 touchdown catches. Ran the ball when they needed to. Their defense was really good. That's what makes this ball game a week from Saturday so interesting.
No doubt about it. And it was a little bit interesting. That first quarter was Notre Dame sleepwalking a little bit. Was the emotions of senior day that come with that? Or was it, you know, just looking forward to Clemson, not maybe respecting your opponent in the moment? And that ended very quickly as Notre Dame scored 21 points in the second quarter. Ian Book, man, this guy's playing like Superman. What he's doing for his team, his escapability, being able to extend plays, keeping his eyes downfield. I've been so impressed with Ian since that Clemson game. And honestly, you know, this is what we expected from a guy that's a fifth-year senior, a three-year starter at quarterback, the winningest quarterback now in Notre Dame history. What an accomplishment to, you know, be able to do that on your senior day and then just go off for 330 total yards, five touchdowns. It was funny on the huddle, you know, Jordan brought up, should he be in the Heisman talk? And we said, no, man, look at his stats. It's nowhere near, you know, where they need to be. And then he goes off and has a tremendous day and scores five total touchdowns. So loving what I'm seeing from Ian Book, the entire team just coming together. They'll get some offensive linemen back in that championship game that I think is really going to help them out. And then defensively, I mean, those guys, they're great. And what they can do, the challenges that they can present, the team speed, that was the biggest thing that we've been questioning from Notre Dame for so long, it seems, really since that national championship appearance against Alabama. They have that now. They can match up with anybody. They can line up and have that speed to compete. That's why it's going to be just absolute fireworks on the 19th.
But you can understand, I think, how Notre Dame could kind of get off to a slow start. You know, you're locked and loaded already for the ACC title game. You're taking on a team that's won one game, so maybe you're a little distracted there. It's been a grind yeah. to get through this whole season. You got the end of the semester. You got grades. Believe it or not, people do read and write in this league. You do go to class. And, you know, so that's part of the deal.
Wait, they have school? They have tests to take?
In this particular league, that does take place. So, I mean, you could totally understand. The band wasn't going to be there. We're pumping in that on the PA system. So you could see how Notre Dame might just be kind of not necessarily dialed in. But when they finally got punched in the nose and Syracuse, to their credit, rolled in there with one win and said, hey, we're here to compete. And Notre Dame, when they finally tasted their blood, I mean, they took it to another level. And that's what quality elite teams do. That's what Notre Dame is now. But the flip side, though, Mac, is Syracuse. You know, first of all, tip of the hat, you finished your season. All right, you played all your games. Yeah, was it ugly with one win? No doubt. There's nobody happy about one win. But they did give you at least spikes during games of note. Clemson game, Notre Dame game Saturday, where they were there to play. They were there to compete. Wes had the NC State game the week before, where hey, it would have been easy to just say, man, let's just get this thing over with. Hey, they pushed NC State, an 8-win team, to the limit. I know one win is going to be, oh, yeah, great team, Pack, terrific. But I thought you saw some things with Dino's club as we get into 21 that they can at least build upon.
And, Pack, that's when you can tell who actually watches these football games and who just looks at the box score and the stat sheet afterwards and who just looks at a record and says, this team is terrible. This Syracuse team has some promise and has some things that you should be excited about. And, guys, listen, I know – it's not reflective in the stat sheet. It's not reflective in their record. But the fact that they have never quit this season, the fact that they have not given up, that speaks a lot more than you know winning some trash can game. To see this and to see the effort that they still put forward is going to take them so much farther outside of football when they're done. And the fact that you know they're facing all this adversity, some really shining spots in the back of that defense and just everywhere you look for Syracuse, young guys that are performing. Garrett Williams just jumps off the screen to me every time I'm watching film. He's a guy broke up three or four passes against Notre Dame, pick six against Trevor Lawrence, and just he's going to be a fantastic player, and you just hope that Syracuse can keep this nucleus together, guys not transferring out, leaving the program, keep them all together. You know, figure it out on offense. You know, it sounds like the receiving core is all deciding to come back, which is tremendous. If you can either find a quarterback in the transfer portal or just get your boy DeVito to take that next step, I mean, Syracuse is right there. You just saw a team rush for 229 yards against this Notre Dame defense who only allowed 75 yards a game. And so that's tremendous what they were able to do. Finish their season on a very high note. Now let's just go into the offseason. Let's build on this momentum, and let's come back in 21 and be a different football team.
Yeah, the other guy, too, that I'll mention on the defensive side for Syracuse, who I think is one of the more underrated guys in the league, although if you look at his stat line, you'll see he's not, is Mikel Jones at linebacker, too, Eric.
Yep.
For a sophomore, he's had a phenomenal season. And we were talking about Clemson linebackers and depth, Levante Bentley and guys like that. I'll just say this. The linebacking, and Pac, you've already said this once. All ACC is going to be impossible at like four positions. Linebackers one. But here's the other one. I can tell you in 2021, all ACC linebackers going to be a problem. I mean, we're a year away from having to vote linebacker in 2021.
Right.
And it's going to be a problem. Because there's so many good linebackers right now. Oh, preseason's going to be bananas. You got to – what? Oh, so anyway, all that being said, good stuff from Eric McClain. Coming up, he will unveil his accounting, by the way. And a thought on Carolina-Miami, which, by the way, has a little juice to it on Saturday. Don't forget, EMAC is part of our football kickoff. Oh, yeah, that's right. Football kickoff. Saturday mornings, 10 a.m., the huddle. It's the lead-up to Wake Forest at Louisville this week, which Roddy and Larisha and I will have for you right here on the network. But Jordan Cornett handles the he's more or less the lion tamer of the group, if you will, making sure the ball gets put in the right places. Coach Rick, DJ Manuel, EMAC, world-famous over-under segment I noticed the other day. Another quality effort there.
That's right.
We'll get to more with Eric McClain on a Monday, coming up next on Packer and Durham on ACC Network.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham on a Monday. Eric McClain about ready to unveil the first edition of accounting for this week. Don't think it was that hard. Say it again. We've gone about a month now. I don't think it's been hard. Don't think it's hard.
These teams are starting to be who they are. There's a little bit of separation. And, you know, it's funny.
Coach
like,
speak.
You know, 6 through 12, if you win, you move up. If you lose, you go down. And it's just kind of, you know, circle of life over there.
I'm with you. Hashtag Packer and Durham. You can participate. We'll give our dog and pony tomorrow with this. But, Eric, you get the first swing. Let it rip.
Let's do it. You know, I think, obviously, the top four, top five even, no movement for me. Virginia, though, sneakily at 6. And, guys, this is a really good football team, a different football team than what we saw start the season. Brennan Armstrong's health is such a huge thing with Virginia. This team is developing together and getting better and better each week offensively. You know, in the last 3 or 4 games, these guys averaging 43-plus points per game. Really liking what I'm seeing from there. Wake Forest at 7, we just need to see them play. Obviously, the things that they're dealing with, having not played in quite some time, still think they're a really good football team. And then the back half, you see, some people might be shocked. Syracuse at 13. For all those reasons that we just spoke about, I know they have the worst record in the league, but the effort is there. And when I see the two teams below them who are actually playing this weekend, who are seemingly playing for last place, it's just more effort from Syracuse. It's more promise from Syracuse in what I'm seeing. So that's why I have those guys 13. But, you know, I'm really excited for this battle for last of 14 and 15 this coming weekend between Florida State and Duke.
Eric, I mentioned to Wes leading off today, we've got some accounting games this week in the ACC. Miami, North Carolina, you got them 3-4. Florida State, Duke on the tail end. You know, even a Wake Forest, Louisville kind of game. It's a perfect accounting matchup, right? It really is. It's kind of what we have this week in the ACC football schedule.
Yeah, it's just going to, you know, kind of confirm or tell you were absolutely wrong about those teams and where they are, how they're matching up. So you're right. I'm excited. We've got 2 more weeks of really good football and then, of course, bowl season. But this weekend, especially that Miami-UNC game, cannot wait to watch that. It's going to be absolute offensive firepower. I mean, you look at both these teams really executing at a high level and what they bring to the table. It's going to be a great matchup.
All right, but okay, so let's jump to the Canes and Heels here. Who do you trust to get a stop, Miami or Carolina?
Obviously, you know, Miami's defense way better in its whole, you know, than North Carolina's. And consistently, you know, we've seen probably more from Miami. Now, I know they've given up some games. You look at the scores and it's a lot. But just when you look at the performers, I think Quincy Roche and my man Jalen Phillips, they had their best game a week ago against Duke, this past weekend. When you saw, you know, both guys, you know, two or three tackles for loss, a sack and a half for each of those guys, violent with their hands, just staying after the quarterback and even getting tackles in the backfield. So I think that those two guys are going to have a huge impact in this game. We have seen North Carolina give up a lot of pressure to Sam Howell, and that offensive line really be challenged. So now that they're facing a team like Miami, a team that thrives on taking the ball away, five turnovers they were able to force against Duke. It's going to be interesting to see that speed, you know, them keeping up with this explosive UNC offense, and what can they do defensively against the run of North Carolina. We know that that is their bread and butter. That's what North Carolina wants to be, a running team that is complementary in the passing game and has these explosive plays in the passing game, but it's built upon the run. And so if Miami can contain that or slow that down, those two fantastic running backs, it's going to be interesting to see what North Carolina does, because you remember 2 weeks ago when they played Notre Dame, blanked in the second half and held to 78 yards. So the blueprint is there for how to slow down the heels. It's just execution. Can you do it? And can you do it to the same level that Notre Dame was able to?
I'm going to give you guys a different angle on this that has not been discussed. First of all, the want to, right? I mean, neither's going to be in Charlotte. So the want to is always interesting. But I think they both have something to play for here. Miami, as we pointed out last week on the show, just kind of flying underneath the radar. I mean, they're a top 10 team for crying out loud, and nobody talks about them. Manny's done a really nice job. The flip side is North Carolina. You know, there was a time this year that they were fifth in the country. You know, we started the season thinking their offense was going to be great, and it is really spectacular. But, you know, if North Carolina loses this game, they end up the year with four losses. And I got to be honest with you, that would be a disappointment. From my perspective, that would be a disappointing year for North Carolina. If you end up the season with four L's, when, quite frankly, let's be honest, when this season got tweaked in the 10-game schedule, I thought North Carolina was the biggest beneficiary of the new schedule. I mean, they eliminated UCF. They eliminated Auburn. All of a sudden, they got Notre Dame at the end, Miami at the end, no Clemson. You're thinking, boy, you couldn't have scripted any better. If they end up the year with four L's, I got to be honest with you, I didn't see that coming. I mean, we talk about Louisville being disappointing, no doubt about that. Syracuse, nobody thought 1-10. But a North Carolina team that was a preseason top 15, potentially huge upside with that offense, if the defense gets a little bit better, all that stuff, and they get it to number five. If you end up the year with a loss to Florida State, which still people scratching their heads, a loss to Virginia, you know, dominated by Notre Dame in a game you had 2 weeks to get ready, and you don't beat Miami, I got to tell you, I would say that would be a disappointing year from my perspective, what I thought I was going to get out of North Carolina. That's why Saturday's an important game.
I'm right there with you, Pac. Yeah, I agree. There's a lot of motivation in this game from both sides. Again, you're looking at a potential Orange Bowl berth. You know, if Notre Dame and both Clemson make it to the CFP playoff, you're looking at an at-large bid if, you know, one of those teams does go to the Orange Bowl, for Miami at least, and then North Carolina, just what you said, you know, playing for pride, playing for that third-place spot, you know, if you will, if you beat them. I know seemingly in the rankings it'll still be what it is by record, but there's a lot to play for. In a game where, you know, we've seen some meaningless games other than just playing, this one, there's some stuff on the line. So I'm right there with you, Pac. I think it's interesting to see this North Carolina team and the fact that they had so many expectations, so many high hopes. You're talking about ACC championship, playoff berth. We thought that they were going to be able to take that next step, and it just didn't happen. And the question is, why? Is it the defense? Is it the offensive line of scrimmage? Is it, you know, what factors can we seemingly blame it on? And so can they take that next step moving forward? Another angle, guys, that I want to look at with Miami is, you know, how are they feeling right now? Thinking that if Notre Dame was not in this conference, they would be playing Clemson again in the ACC championship. They would be fighting for a potential Final Four spot in the CFP playoff when you look at no Notre Dame in the conference. So those guys have to be frustrated in this crazy season that we're in, this COVID era, you know, having everything out in front of you. Now this new toy comes to play, and seemingly it was all taken away. So, you know, I think there's some real frustration in Miami, and they're going to want to take it out on North Carolina and say, hey, look, we're still a dominant team. Well, we are a team in this ACC that we figured it out. We've got our quarterback. We've got some really key playmakers that are playing well. We deserve this, that, and something else. So I can't wait to watch this game.
All right. Good stuff, Eric. Have a great week. Always appreciate the time on a Monday, and look forward to seeing you guys on Saturday on the huddle.
No doubt. Thank you guys always. Appreciate it.
You bet. Eric McLean. Of course, he'll be with Jordan and EJ and Coach on Saturday to kick off our football coverage. We are 12 days away from the ACC Football Championship game at Bank of America Stadium in Uptown Charlotte, and it features two of the top three teams in the country. When we come back, we start scratching that surface on a collision for the Irish and the Tigers. And what's it mean to the ACC? Got some hoop news and more as we go to the backside of the program. Final hour next on ACC Network.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.